Okay, is that better? There we go. Well, good morning. So good to see everyone. We have made it into the year 2021 fully. Everybody get snowed in last week, play in the snow. How many people built snowmen in the yard? All right. Anything besides a snowman, like a snow, we did a snow lizard one time. A snow bear. And a snow ramp, okay? All right. Well, we are excited to be moving into a new series today called Stretched. And we're going to be in the book of Matthew chapter 4, if you want to start making your way to Matthew chapter 4. I love all the things that God is doing up here at Bear Creek. Some of our outreach ministries and things are really starting to take root and grow. We have been so blessed to have people giving to our outreach ministry. We bought a trailer just this past week, and we're getting it fixed and set for some of the ministry opportunities that we're going to be engaged in. And one of them is homeless ministry. So you'll see out on the table in the foyer, you'll see these little bags. And what we're going to do is we're going to produce some care kits. You can do this at home and involve your kids. It'll be really cool to do that, okay? And we're also collecting blankets, and we're going to be giving them out in February. But inside the care kits, I just want you to write a little word of encouragement for them along with the items. And next week, I'm going to be talking a little bit more about how to share your personal testimony and share the gospel with others, and that might be something that you can include in your word of encouragement, okay? So hope that you'll be a part of that. It'll be a great opportunity for us. If you're going to be a man of God, or if you're going to be a woman of God, and you're going to be the one that God created you to be, you can't remain who you are. How many of y'all know that? You can't stay where you are. You can't remain who you are or where you are right now. You got to continue to grow and to expand and to stretch out. And that means changing some of our habits, right? That means thinking about things a little bit differently and being having some of our thoughts change a little bit and adjusted and to become more and more like Jesus and the way he thinks, the way he does things. And it's going to take some shaping, right? Well, when I was 8 years old, I remember I used to do the Saturday morning cartoons. Anybody do that? Saturday morning cartoons? I would look forward to Saturday morning, got up early, got my Lucky Charms cereal, and got the bowl, sat it in front of the TV. And I remember when this commercial came on TV, and I really got excited. So I asked them to make a copy of this commercial that I watched when I was 8. And this is kind of a retro, so it's a little old school, all right? But watch on the screen. Well, lo and behold, I went online, and they actually still sell Stretch Armstrong. Now, he's got a skimpy bathing suit on, so don't look at that, but I'm going to ask my daughter to come up here. You know, I'm going to be pulling Stretch Armstrong out each week to remind us of this series that we're doing, but I want to show you how far this thing stretches. Okay, hold on tight. They say it stretches up to 15 feet. And so that's the, here, and you can put that right back over there on the, thank you, Kendall. Good job. But I found that that's what Stretch Armstrong's made to do, right? to be pulled, to be stretched. And kids, I'll tell you, they couldn't break the thing. I remember my brother and I, we would try to break it and try to pull it apart, and you just couldn't do it. And God, that's how God has made us, hasn't he? To stretch a little bit, to expand, to go beyond who we think we are or where we are to new things. And you can just leave that, lay that right there, Kendall, and you can go grab a seat, okay? She was about to rebuild Stretch Armstrong back there and get him off. But as a kid, I think that's what blew us away, is that Stretch Armstrong, he could be stretched and pulled, and he just all went back together. God does that. He stretches us. You know, in Matthew chapter 4, while Jesus was walking along the Sea of Galilee, in verse 18, you'll see this. It says he saw two brothers, Simon, which many of you remember as being Peter, right? And Andrew, his brother, and they were casting nets into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." See, Peter and Andrew were fishermen. But Jesus says, when I'm finished stretching you, you're going to become not fishers of fish, but you're going to become fishers of men. In other words, the ultimate goal here is I'm going to take you from what is familiar and take you to a new place. And I'm going to shape you and make you into something different. I'm going to bring you into an element where you will have to be trained, right? And you'll have to be stretched a little bit. Think about that in your own lives. And so here's the deal. When God has a vision for you and he has a goal for your life, it doesn't always mean that you're going to jump at the chance to do it, but we make ourselves available, right? And sometimes we look at the things that God calls us to do and we just go, you know what? That just doesn't fit my personality. That's just not who I am, and I don't really want to go there. Well, this year, 2021, here at Bear Creek, I want to make it about being stretched. Stretching and us not putting limits on God, on what he can do with us, through us, and in us, because he wants to stretch us. He wants to take us out of our comfort zones, right? He wants to expand our faith. He wants us to believe more and trust more in him so he can take us to new places, amen? To where you've never been before. You know, if you do what you've always done, you'll get what you've always got. You've heard that saying before. And if you stay where you are and you keep doing what you've always done, you'll keep getting the same results, and God has so much more. And so you're going to have to face some of your fears. You're going to have to, and look, I'm having to do some of the same things in my own life. You're going to have to deal with some hard truths. That's one of the things right now in our culture. Our culture is not used to handling hard truth, and that's kind of seeped into the church. And God has some hard truths for us to understand. Hard truths about marriage, hard truths about family, hard truths about how to live, how to honor him, how to be obedient. This is not legalism. This is just spiritual disciplines, because he's shaping us and stretching us to become more and more like him. And that means we can't stay the same. See, the same is comfortable, right? But taking us to new places and becoming the kind of people he has for us to become, it means that we have to stretch. And he's going to stretch you. And so he tells these fishermen, it's going to start with you following me. And there's a term for people who become popular on social media. They're called influencers. Anybody heard this before? Influencers. And so what happens is when you become real popular, people start following you on social media, and you become an influencer. And so there's political influencers, there's fashion influencers, there's leadership influencers, and so there's all these people who have all these ideas and all of these plans, and what they want to do is they want to get more and more followers. And they're constantly saying, follow me, follow me, follow me. Because if you follow them, then you're going to be, of course, more healthy, wealthy, and wise, right? If you follow them on Facebook. So who you are following makes the difference in your life. And so that's the big question to you today. Who are you following? What are you following? Because listen, you're going to be following someone. And you're going to be following some kind of idea, some kind of plan, and you're going to be heading in some kind of direction, right? And so I have a word for you today. Be wise. Be very wise in who you follow, because following the wrong thing can keep you from the most amazing thing that God has for you. Following the wrong thing can lead you in all kinds of different directions. And look, God has a plan for you. I say this all the time. He has a plan for your life. You don't know what that is. You just have to follow him. And so following the wrong thing can keep you from the most important things. Well, let's go again to Matthew chapter 4. So in the gospel, in this gospel, Jesus, he uses this term, follow me, throughout the gospels 13 times. And it was an offer he made to people in crowds. He made it to rich people. He made it to poor people. He made it to people who were leaders. He made it to Jews, and he made it to Gentiles. And he makes this same offer to you and I, to follow him. So the question really isn't, am I a Christian? Because if I take a microphone and I go to just about any city in America, probably 80% of the people are going to say, I'm a Christian, okay? So let's just stop asking that question, and let's just ask you this question. Do you follow Jesus? Are you a follower of Christ? It's a better question. When you get up each day, are you following Christ? Have you put your trust and your faith in the Lordship of Jesus? He is Lord, he is Savior. Is he above all things, and are you following him? Well, Jesus was just about to begin his earthly ministry. He had been baptized by John at the Jordan River. He was tempted by the devil on the high mountain. Some of you remember this part. And now he's walking along the Sea of Galilee that we had just read a few minutes ago, and he spots these two fishermen, and he says to them in verse 19 of chapter 4, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And look what it says in verse 20. Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. Verse 21, and going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father, and they followed him. So Jesus approaches these men, and he says, follow me. Now, some speculate that Jesus, or that these men probably heard of Jesus' reputation. Maybe that they had heard of him before, and they knew some of the things about him, but just his very presence had to be just a powerful presence. And so he speaks to them, and they follow. And they knew he wasn't just saying, come hang out with me. Come have lunch with me for about 15 minutes, and I'll bring you back to your nets and your fishing gear. This was follow me. Commit to me. This word follow in the Greek, it's diute. There's two words here in this passage. Diute, it means to come. And so Jesus says, come, follow me, right? And then the word follow is apicio, and it refers to direction or taking place in the back. And so think about about following, taking a position in the back, right? Now, a PCO also has all these other meanings. I mean, it's a lengthy description. It's used in so many different ways. It's also used for the word abide, like when Jesus says, abide in me. And so it refers to direction. It refers to taking the place in the back. So in other words, I'm heading in this direction. Come get behind me. And so that's what they did. And so here's a couple of points. We're just going to look at 3 points today that we see in this passage. Number one is following means God will redirect you. God will redirect you. It means you are getting behind him and you're following his lead and you're going in his direction. I like what Andy Stanley says. He says this, "It is direction, not good intentions, that lead to destination." It's direction, not good intentions, that lead to destination. You can have lots of good intentions about God and about faith and about being a believer. You can have a lot of good intentions, but it's not about the good intentions. It's about where you're heading, what direction you're heading, and who you're following. So I remember I've heard people say things like, well, you know, all roads lead to heaven, right? And you see some of these bumper stickers that kind of give you that impression, you know, all these different religious symbols, and people would like to believe that all roads lead to heaven, but that doesn't even make sense, right? It's like saying, hey, don't worry, if you're going to come to my house tonight, I won't even bother giving you the directions because all roads lead to my house. You just go whatever road you want to take. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to me, no man comes to the Father except by me. All right? We need to make sure we're following the right one, following him. In John 10:27, Jesus said, my sheep, in other words, believers, followers of Christ, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. It's about direction. And listen, following him is essential. Following him, it's required that we unfollow ourselves, right? It's required that we're not out in the lead. It's required of us to make our thoughts submissive to his. It's required of us to come under his leadership, come behind him. That's what this word means in the Greek, right? Getting behind him and following him. We get behind. We get in the back. He's in the lead. In Matthew 16, it says this, Matthew 16, 24 through 26. It says, then Jesus told his disciples, here he is speaking to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. This is one of those passages that talk about following him. So the old life, the old self, he goes on. I mean, if you look at this in verse 25 of Matthew 16, he says, for whoever would save his life will lose it. In other words, get rid of your old way of trusting yourself. Whoever wants to save his life, you want to save your life, get rid of you, okay? Get out of the way and let God lead, right? Whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? So the old life, the old self, is gone. The old self operated on worldly gain, right? The old self was led by its impulses, sinful desires, but it was deceived and it thought its sinful desires were what was best. And so those sinful desires led us when we were lost toward worldly gain. And so we were so deceived, we thought that the world was what we needed, but we really needed Jesus. And we really needed to follow him. But the sin inside of us drew us, it made us passionate about the things of this world. So following him is about going in a new direction. It's about denying self, not going our own way anymore. And imagine your job as a fisherman, okay? And here you are every day, day after day. You're a fisherman on the boat. You're mending the nets. You're scooping and bringing in the fish into the boat. That's your job. You're in your normal routine. This is all that you've ever known all your life. Since you were a young child, you help your father get the fish out of the nets. And this has been the family trade. It's the only thing that you've known. And this man, this stranger, he walks up and he says, come follow me and I'll make you a different kind of fisherman. He tells them what he will do with them if they follow him, doesn't he? Look what he says in verse 19. He says, if you follow me, I will make you into something. He'll redirect you. And number two, you'll see this on the screen, he'll remake you. He says, I'll make you fishers of men. And so, and here's the thing, this wasn't a career change. It wasn't like Jesus walked up and said, look, I'll pay you $15 an hour. You only have to work 30 hours a week. So he wasn't coming and offering them a new job. This wasn't a career change. This wasn't a change of profession. This was a change in purpose. And so now they come and get behind him and they begin to follow him. And he says, I'm going to remake you. And I'm going to make you into fishers of men. And I'm not talking about your profession. I'm talking about your purpose. I'll reshape you. I'll grow you. I'll remake you. I'll redesign you. And think about Stretch Armstrong. He was made to be stretched. And Jesus says, look, I'm going to make you, and you're going to be the type of people that stretch to become more and more like me. And when Jesus told these fishermen to follow me, I'll make you fishers of men, he was basically saying, follow me, and if you do, you will be stretched, and you will find purpose. You will find purpose. Listen, you can't be who God intends for you to be unless you're willing to follow him, to be redirected and remade by him. And this is hard because what happens is we don't want to let go, right? We don't want to let go of ourselves. We've got so many desires in this world and so many things and so many pleasures that we are getting so used to and so comforted by that he's no longer our comforter. And so he says, follow me. I'll redirect you, I'll remake you, I'll give you a new purpose. And how could we possibly follow him? Well, and what would happen if we do? Well, he'll begin to reprioritize things in our lives. To follow him, you have to reprioritize. We have to be redirected, we have to be remade, and then it's about reprioritizing. You can't say Jesus is the center of my life. You can't say Jesus is the Lord and Savior of my life if you're not willing to follow him and reprioritize things. All of your old priorities need to be thrown in the trash, right? Things have to reprioritize because you're coming under him, under his plan, and his new priorities now are laid in your lap. And what is valuable to him becomes valuable to you. All the things that you used to value, all those worldly gains that he talks about in Matthew chapter 16, they take a second seat. They come under him. And that's what these disciples had to do. And so it says that Peter and Andrew, it says they immediately left their nets and they followed him. Then it says, look what it says in verse 21 of chapter 4. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers. And so he's got Peter and Andrew, and now he sees two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called to them. And it says in verse 22, immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. So these priorities, the net, the boat, the father, think about how important the nets were to a fisherman. They walked away from those priorities, those nets, the boat. Imagine what that meant to them. That was their entire livelihood. And then it says that they walked away from their father. They left their father, and they followed Jesus. You know, in Jewish culture, the sons practically always followed the father's trade. And so if he was a tent maker, the father was a tent maker, he would pass it down to his sons, and the sons would be tent makers. If the father was a farmer, he would pass that trade down to his son, and the son would be a farmer. If the father was a carpenter, he would pass that trade down to his son. Well, Zebedee, their father, was a fisherman, and he was training them and teaching them and relying on them, and the family was relying on these boys to take care of them. But immediately, something shifted in these men, and the priority of all of those things went away. And Jesus became ultimate priority. And look, he is not a line item on a priority list. He's the entire thing. He is the centerpiece. He is the foundation of your life. And all of your priorities fit within his plan. They go inside. He's not one of your list's items. Your items are consulted with him, and they fit under his plan. And so when you think about Jesus, don't think about prioritizing him in. Think about him being the center and circumference and the everything and the foundation and the highest point of all of this. Think about him being everything, and everything, all of your priority lists fall inside of that. So watch this. And so it meant that they walked away, that they walked away from dad, and they walked away from the trade that has been in their family for probably generations. You know, in Luke 14, verse 26, there's a passage that shocks people. You're going to see what I mean. Okay, brace yourself. You might want to hold your spouse's hand on this one. Okay, that's right. So here it is. Luke 14, 26. If anyone comes after, this is Jesus speaking. If anyone comes after me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brother and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciples. Let me read it again for shock value, okay? If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciples. Now, I'm gonna ease up a little bit, because this word for hate in the Greek, it means to love less, right? It doesn't mean to be bitter towards, right? It does in other cases, okay? But this is one of those words that mean a couple of different things. And so what Jesus is saying is, if you're not willing to love your children less, and this is important, y'all, this is probably the most important lesson of this entire morning, okay? If you're not willing to love your children less and your wife less and your parents less, okay, then you can't really follow him. Why? It's because they'll always take priority over everything that you do, okay? And so all of their activities, all of their the things that they're concerned about, okay? All of their concerns, all of the things that they do will take priority over God's word. He has to be above all things. And look, here's what I've learned. Here's the really good news. When you put him first, you will learn to love them more than they've ever loved, been loved before, more than they could ever possibly be loved any other way. When you put him first, you will begin to forgive better than you've ever forgiven before. And so they will be under, right? In priority, okay? You will love them less than God. You will love God more than you love them. Yes, you will, okay? But here's the deal, okay? They will be loved more than any other person could possibly love them. Why? Because you're learning the love of God, and they're experiencing that. They'll experience forgiveness better than they'll ever experience forgiveness any other way. Why? Because you're learning the forgiveness of God, and you're pouring that, and you're learning it and pouring it into them. Why? Because he's priority. He's above all things. So he says, yeah, your mother and father are important. I know that they're important to you. He knew that when he made this statement. But he says, if you're not willing to love them less, you can't come and follow me and be my disciples. Why? Because it's just that important. All of those priorities have to fall under me. You have to reprioritize. Your father and mother are important, but Jesus is God's plan to save us all, including them. And only him, through him, will they understand meaning and purpose and destiny, okay? They cannot be your top priority. God has to be the top priority. And let me ask you a question. How are you doing with priorities right now in light of this? And I'll tell you, mine get out of order. My priorities have really gotten out of order this past week, okay? And mine aren't always in line with the Lord. But sometimes I can regroup and go, God, show me how to keep you at the center. God, I'm begging you, Lord, that I feel my life pulling away from you, and I get too absorbed in the cares of this world. Lord, lift me above all those things. Keep me in your presence. So all of those things become other, they just become under you. They're under you, and they're under your lordship. So these fishermen became his disciples, and they began to follow him. And this is the cool thing. In the next about 5 weeks, I'm looking at about 5 weeks, in the next 5 weeks or remaining four, we're going to be following these fishermen. And you're going to see how these guys went from emptying fish out of nets to changing the world. So we're going to land in the book of Acts when it starts, when all of these gifts and priorities and all of this new way of thinking, and you'll see how Jesus has stretched them to a point so that when God empowers them in the book of Acts, people were saying things like, these are the men that are turning our city upside down. They were turning the world upside down for Jesus because they were allowing God to stretch them. Well, he goes on. So these fishermen, they become disciples, and they begin to follow him. And look at verse 23. And so then he went through all of Galilee. Galilee is like a region. Teaching in their synagogues, and so he would go into the Jewish synagogues and begin teaching. This was kind of strange to them, right? And so he would step into the synagogue and begin teaching and proclaiming the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ for the salvation of all mankind. The gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. Jesus is showing who he is, that he has command over disease. And so it says in verse 24, his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, those having seizures and paralytics, and he healed them. Verse 25, and great crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis and from Jerusalem and Judea and from beyond the Jordan. So now the disciples are following him, and he begins to move them towards greater priorities, and he begins to do things like teach them. So now they're learning. They're watching him. He's going into these synagogues, and he's teaching, but he's not just teaching other people in the synagogue. He's teaching those that are following him, those disciples. And he says that he's proclaiming the kingdom, the gospel. He's proclaiming the gospel to people. He's teaching his disciples while he's doing that. And he heals people of the effects of sin. And I know what you're thinking. How is this group of fishermen going to teach and proclaim and do all these things? How? Well, they're going to be stretched. That's how. It's the same thing that happens with you and with me. There's no greater time than now to be a follower of Jesus. There are many references to individuals following Jesus in the New Testament. So these words, follow me, weren't just for the 12 disciples. They were for everyone. They're for you and for me. And it's a question to ask yourself today. Am I following him? Have I been following him? If someone were to ask me, am I a Christian? I think, again, most of the country would say yes. But the real question is, are you following him? And so the thing I love about God, you know, following isn't always this easy road, right? And what I love about him is he's so intentional. He's intentional about guiding people into failure. Why? Because he wants to shape you inside of your failure. And he's intentional about driving, and we learned this about Daniel just last week, or 2 weeks ago, that he'll lead you into a storm. Why? So he can correct some things that are going on in your life and get you realigned with him. Because that's where his deepest work happens, is when he shapes you and when he's doing a work in your life. And when we're born again, we are like these little kids who can't walk or talk. And so we just stand and we fall and we trip and we falter and we keep following him and we keep following him. And we have to be taught everything, and we're just listening to him, and we're trying to understand what he's talking about and what he's trying to lead us to and what he's trying to show us. But look, when we get to a point where we're getting so frustrated and we just don't understand this Christian life, that's when we cry out to him, and that's when we press into him even more. He made us to be dependent on him. That's how he's designed us. And this entire new life is designed to where we follow and we trust and we depend and we try. And then we start to learn that it's not in our own strength, but it's in his power that these things are done. But it's going to take some learning and growing and reshaping. And you know, some of us are just babes in Christ, and we're just so frustrated with this Christian walk. There's no reason to be frustrated. It's just, you have to just mature and grow and get closer and become more and more dependent on him. And he will shape you, and he will show you that you were created by him, that in him you have purpose and meaning. He will give you a game plan. He will set some boundaries for you that you really need. You really need boundaries. And he'll paint this picture of your destiny, and you'll be so clear that you'll know that he's the one that makes the crooked path straight. Amen? And he's the one that shines light in the darkness. And he's the one that takes the deceived person who has gone so crooked and so wayward. And he's the one that turns that life around, and he makes those kinds of people into something really incredible. Don't you want that? Let's pray.